Hey everyone, it's good to have you back, and we have finally have our guest, right? She's phenomenal. She is a straight talker.
I agree.
finally, we are able to actually get a hold of her schedule. Life happens, but she's finally here, right? And we're gonna let you guys know just how committed we are to this podcast, right? It is 1:28 a.m. right now, but that's what the schedule said, and that's what we're running with. So, my lovely guest, I'd like to give you the honor of actually just introducing yourself, who you are, and how did you bump into this crazy person called me?
Oh gosh, what a long story. Well, my name is Mo. A lot of people know me as Mo Mandela. Weird name. I don't know how it came about. Politics and tertiary, long story short. I met you, honey, on
What, right?
My God. And yeah, we shared lots of crazy things, and I thought, wow, I want to be part of this crazy person's life. And I know Tinder's like a very loving and find love or otherwise platform. And I think I found a lifelong friend. Yeah.
And I'm so glad I bumped into you. I think this podcast, I was telling somebody the other day, there's this incredible woman who literally challenged me and said, "Listen, I double dare you that by tonight, that you need to have put out something." Because it had been ages, it had been almost a year since I'd last set out, put on a podcast, and I used to go under the name of Code Switch. And a woman says to me, "Listen, I double dare you to put something out by tonight and send it to me." And thus began the road trip.
Interesting story. When I told you that I was passing out, I could not wait to fall asleep. I didn't even know if you when you put your first one out, I was so shocked. I'm like, whoa, that's commitment right there. And it was quite late at night, eh?
It was.
And you did it, and I'm so proud of you.
And I think and obviously you're gonna be a constant guest in here, but I think it speaks about the kind of circles that you build. I think circles you build deliberately. They don't just sometimes obviously they fall out, but you build them. And I think with you it is just the right time for you just to show up, right? And I mean, you dropped a whole lot of a lot of gems on me, and one of the things was you were listening to me, and you were like, "Listen, I don't like the way you speak to yourself." And do you remember why you said that?
It was something that you said. You spoke very negatively about your own future, and that was very upsetting. Like, you haven't even been to the future, and you've already spoken so negatively about it. That is like, wow, that's crazy. Why would somebody do something like that? But then I think it sparked the whole conversation about this is actually quite a common thing. You know, we do this quite a lot to ourselves, without even realizing it. And yeah.
I think it's crazy that you would notice that. I think you really had me thinking about how we do we really love ourselves and how we love ourselves, right? I think a lot of the times we don't pay attention to the fact that we actually have a relationship with ourselves. You're the closest person you'll ever have a relation yeah to you'll ever have a relationship with. And like, if you had to step outside of yourself and actually look at yourself relating to yourself, what would you see?
You know, speaking about that, I saw a post the other day on Facebook, and somebody said, "Would you date yourself?"
Yikes.
And there was a post, there was a comment that got quite a lot of traction, and the girl said, "I deserve better."
Wow.
So, I mean, that's deep.
I think that's interesting when you think about it. Like, imagine you not meeting your own standard and how you treat
Right.
yourself. I mean, what? Like, that means every single day I am relating to myself in a substandard manner. And it could be even in the way that I speak to myself. Like, what's the first thing that comes out of my mouth towards myself? Or even better, when was the last time I looked in the mirror and actually said the words, "Hey, I love you."
Exactly.
And men, right? When was the last time you did
something
that?
Bad. I've always got something bad to say about myself. Like, I mean, just imagine dating somebody exactly like me, telling me every single morning, looking at the mirror, like, when are you going to get rid of the marks on your face? That is so ugly.
Wow.
Why can you not love me for who I am? Why can I not love myself for who I am? You know, and it's crazy. I agree. I cannot date somebody like me. I do not meet my own standards. I'm not nice enough. I don't love me enough. I'm not caring enough towards myself. So why would I want to date somebody like that? And you know what's the worst part?
Mm-hmm.
We are serving the world.
Yeah.
These people that we don't even like. And we're so judgmental on top of that. Like, we are the worst.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're relaxing your head. You know how petty we are towards people's images. You're relaxing your hair, body images, you're fat, you're skinny. God damn, we do not even love ourselves.
And that's scary. I think when I think of myself, like, now take that, how I love myself, right? And if I'm doing that to myself, imagine when I introduce another human being into that internal conversation that's already happening.
Exactly. You're putting someone else through something that you cannot even stand.
Yeah.
Is that okay? No.
Sure.
And then we wonder why our relationships belong to the damn street.
Sure.
Like, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know a couple of years ago, I was dating somebody, and I mean, they're an amazing person, right? They're a wonderful person. But I remember when I first met, you know, we do that whole thing of, oh, what's your purpose? What are you passionate about? And, you know, we then proceed to tell each other, you know, our future dreams. And I remember thinking, wow, she's going to do amazing things, right? And when the opportunity for those amazing things to happen sort of showed up, according to me, and I'm not saying that she did that, but according to me, in terms of my perception on what was going on, it looked like she was running from that. And I don't know why, but I got so mad internally at that. And I was just like, low-key, mad and disgusted by that. I was like, how can you run? Da-da-da-da, you know? And I started seeing in how I became the fixer in the relationship. I was more coach than boyfriend. Right? I was like,
okay, but here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you coach yourself?
That's the thing. I would coach me, but how I coach myself, I wouldn't want any other human being to be coached by me the way I was coaching myself.
But you're coaching somebody else.
Right?
How do you know you're doing the right thing?
Yeah, yeah. Because if
you know any better, you're a bad coach to yourself.
And here I am now. I'm saying I'm gonna be a coach to somebody else. And I think it took doing what I call when a plane crashes, there's like a crash investigator. And I really learned the value of doing a post relationship or a post breakup report and just sit there.
Wow.
Because I mean,
you've been on your own or with that person?
No,
with
weird. No, it'd be weird. So listen, we're gonna talk about why we crashed. No.
Okay.
No.
That's probably why it crashed.
You know,
because you don't love yourself.
Exactly. I think for me, the reason why I got so mad at her, it was because I was mad at myself. I was at a space where I was sitting in a company where I knew I had more potential, and I knew that the opportunities are right in front of me, but I was frustrated because I just didn't know how to access them. Right? It's like being there, but you don't know how which buttons to push to get the result that you want. And maybe, and I'm saying maybe with it's a very big maybe, with a lot of grace. Maybe that was what is happening to her, right? She was presented with these opportunities, but she just didn't know how to run
So you were
them.
both mad at each other.
No, that's the funniest thing. She wasn't. From her end, she was like, "Dude, it's okay. You're figuring it all out, and I'm this guy, right? When a couple of years ago, I was this guy who had a lifetime. I had a plan, a timeline. By age 23, I stay here. I'm driving this car. I have
It must
this
have
in my
been a long
life.
time ago, 'cause you're what now?
I'm 34."
I mean, wow, that was a long time ago. 23 was a long time ago. And you're still talking about this. But let's move on.
Whatever. You're so spicy. So it even influences my work. I think I said it to you the other day when I said to you, "Hey, look, I'm my own professional ass kicker. Like there is no one who can kick my ass like I kick my own ass. Like wow, I go to town with myself. I'm like, what were you thinking? Oh, you idiot! Like really, guy? I would have these conversations with myself, and it's not made any better by the fact that I can draw up scenario, like amazing scenarios, of
Imaginary scenarios
oh my word,
could never exist scenarios.
like
Your
wow,
crazy scenarios. Shut
like
up scenarios. Oh my God, what are you thinking? Seriously, scenarios.
yeah,
That's what you're thinking.
oh
And
like.
that's crazy. They don't exist.
And I mean, it gets in depth. Like my emotions get in there. I can feel how I feel in those scenarios.
My God.
And I don't know if it's something that we picked up in design school. So studying design was both the best thing and the worst thing to happen to me. Because it was a competitive space, right? Like I saw some of the best designers ever, like just kids who were far more creative than me, crash and burn. Because of the competition, you get up there and they'd do like a critique session, and somebody would be like, "Yeah, no, I think your font choice was a little bit dumb. It was really not well thought through." And some of it was professional, but because creatives, we attach ourselves to our work, so it wasn't your work is not amazing. No, you're not amazing, right? I remember,
But you are not your work.
that's the thing. Nobody ever tells us that, and I think it's difficult for me even now as a creative to distance myself from my work because I feel like it pours out of me. And it's very different, right? Like for instance, one of the things that I struggle a lot with is congratulating myself whenever I've done something really good. I
I
struggle.
think we all struggle with that though. I think I think we may even associate that with pride. Or if you're doing well and you congratulate yourself, I feel that I'm losing sight of the bad things that could be coming. And as a result, I don't congratulate myself. And as a result, I never feel like I've done anything good. And I mean, imagine being with somebody who's never done anything good. Like, wow, my God, what a trash human being.
And I
Like, what
think
a loser.
so here's the thing, here's the juxtapose of that, right? It's I think it's in my third year. And we're watching this documentary on probably one of the best designers of all time, right? I can't remember his name, but he's French, right? And he's designed some of the most beautiful things in the world, right? Like there's this lemon juice or like fresh orange juice squeezer thing, right? Like it's made out of this like stainless steel. It looks like a freaking rocket. And he's known for that, right? I can't remember his name, but he says the reason why us French people are the best in the world at designing is because we're never impressed. And so we keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing. And I remember thinking, oh, that's amazing. That's the way I'm going to be on top of this game. Never be impressed. But imagine being in love with somebody that's never impressed. Never, you know, I mean, that must be heartbreaking. A, for your partner watching you berate and self-flagellate, right? And just punish yourself. And two, if you're not impressed with yourself, what chance does another human being stand at ever moving your heart, right? Because I think it's like a high where we're addicted to this, there must be something better,
you know? And
don't get me started on there must be something better when it comes to choosing partners in relationships, because that's a whole other conversation about how people chase this. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're not going to find an incredible human out there, but I think sometimes we fall in love with the fantasy, you know. We're chasing the unicorn partner, who's everything, that to the point where they're so much everything that we don't have to do anything. They're not work, they're perfect, they're on a pedestal. And then you miss the gems that are rough in front of you, where it's like, listen, I come with a lot of work, but I promise you, if both of us put work into each other, we can be amazing.
But a lot of work should not be that I do not love myself.
Yeah.
And I want you to help me love myself. That should not be. If you do not have love for yourself, you cannot give it to somebody else. I read a book. I can't remember the author. I know. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The Power of Vulnerability. It was an audiobook, anyway.
I think it's Brené Brown.
And she was talking about the research that she conducted about how people who love themselves received love more from their partners. They had much more long-lasting, meaningful relationships with the people in their lives. And I think it speaks to, I mean, the relationships. I mean, there are people who genuinely do love themselves, and they speak love into the universe, all that goodness, and then they get love back, and they spend the rest of their lives with people. But, I mean, when did you first realize that you did not love yourself? And did it trigger something? Did you think, okay, hold up, I'm saying something very negative about myself, I might not love myself? Or was it a very normal thing, like, oh, okay, I'm ugly. If I were more light-skinned, if my hair was more straight, if I did not have these black marks on my face, then I would be beautiful. And that's kind of like postponing your love. I would love you if you did not have the black marks on your face. I would love you if you were taller. I would love you if you were smarter. When did you realize you did not love yourself? Wow. And what did you do about it?
It's been a series of like little awakenings. I wouldn't say there was this one big aha moment, but I think I used to struggle with that even in high school, right? I used to look at myself and I was just like, what the hell, man? Like, you know, it sounds horrible, but I remember this guy like complaining that, you know, there's like some really nice looking dudes out there, man. Like there's like, they're super popular, they're like super good looking, they're everything, right? And then you're like, ah, damn, man, God, really? Like, this is what we have to work with? I'm gonna have to work twice as hard, I'm gonna have to be twice as smart, you know? And I don't know where I picked that up from, right? It resulted in horrible coping mechanisms, right? I remember couldn't be part of the cool kids, right? But then I started noticing, yeah, I couldn't, like, I was like, it wasn't happening for me.
Hopefully he knows you're not hot enough.
Oh, right.
What was it? What was it about what you look like that that you did not like?
I don't know, my button nose, it was very wide in my head. Oh my God, it's so wide.
Who were you comparing it to?
Oh gosh, I think there's some dude, there's
The
some,
other boys who had girlfriends?
yeah, right? But it wasn't even just that, it was just the way that they were so damn cool, right? Like they were just smooth, right? And I was just
You
like,
wanted to look like them.
yeah, I wanted to dress, be able to dress like, I couldn't even dress like them because obviously I'm raised by a single mom, right? So it was that. Man, it was so difficult, and also just being smooth, the way that they're so smooth, like I came from a
That's
very,
deep. That's deep. But you know, that's deep. What you just said,
yeah.
that obviously you could not dress like them because you're raised by a single mom.
Yeah.
Does coming from a poor background have anything to do with people not loving themselves?
I think you despise, because you feel like you got dealt an ugly, like a really terrible hand, you know? Like I remember my younger brother once saying, "Why can't we just be rich, damn it?" type of thing, you know? Like he was like, you could see he had really just, he was like proper just mad at the fact that, yo, why us? Why does it have to be us? Like, and we both had the, you know, the opportunity of, not even opportunity, but we had friends who were well off, right? And there we are, you just, it hits home. Like you're like, damn, why couldn't it be us, you know?
I
So
hear what you're saying, but I don't think there's a direct relation to the amount of money you have and the level of love you have towards yourself. I think it's a lot of things that are connecting. Yeah, I mean, we're watching a lot of things on TV. We are being told a lot of things from home. We're hearing things from our neighbors. Just the environment
Yeah.
is making us think that
You're less
we
than,
should,
yeah.
yeah, we need to be have this much money dressed like this for people to love us.
Yeah.
But I've met, well, not a lot, but I've met people who are from worse backgrounds than what I've been from. But these people genuinely love themselves.
Yeah, they're so damn happy, and you're looking at them going, "What have you got to be happy about?" Right?
Exactly, because you're so ungrateful.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You don't like the way you look. I mean, and there are people from worse backgrounds that love themselves.
Yeah.
You are not even from a worse, bad background, but yet you don't love them. Have you seen this meme on Facebook trending quite a while back? There's a guy in a wheelchair looking out the window, looking at a guy driving a bicycle. And this guy says to himself, "I wish I could use my legs
Sure.
and ride a bicycle."
I haven't seen
Like,
it. Yeah.
imagine a guy on the bicycle is looking at a guy in a car.
Wow.
He's
It's
like,
escalating.
"Yeah, I wish I had a car."
Jeepers.
The guy in the car is looking at a guy with like those sports cars. But damn, I wish I had that car. The
Oh
guy in the sports car is looking at a guy in a jet. He's like,
wow.
"Damn, I wish I had a jet." It's like it's a hierarchy of needs. The ones you, when you achieve one, then
You're on to the next.
you're on to the next one. But when is it enough? Not enough in terms of goals and having ambitions, but when do you come to a point where you are grateful and you love yourself?
Sure, I think you have these, I think, I don't know if they're called soul moments, right? And where you're just content, right? And for me it happened, the most recent one was,
Moments, like seconds,
yeah,
or like
it's just fleeting. It's there for a split second, and then your mind is like, hey, back to reality, right? Or back to the reality of your life.
Don't forget button nose.
You know, hey, remember who you are,
You
right?
ain't shit.
I'm standing outside a hut, right, on top of a valley. I'm in Lesotho, and it's peaceful, like, but I'm in deep rural Lesotho, proper. I think, and I know a lot of people are gonna crucify me for saying it wrong, but I think it's Haramabanta or something like that. Like, it's deep in the mountains, right? You can't even drive in there; you have to walk. And there was just this calm, like I couldn't tell you what time it was, because time was not of the essence there. It was just a moment. Nothing else, like nothing. There was no thought that pushed itself into my head. I was simply present in the moment, and it was beautiful. It wasn't about how much money I have or don't have, what shoes I'm wearing. Like, it was just my soul felt like it was breathing. It had come up to the surface, and it was taking in a breath, a much needed breath, and nothing else mattered. And
That's interesting. That's wow. So maybe there's a relationship between living in the present moment and
yeah.
possibly loving yourself.
I think it's we walk right past ourselves. I think I remember I was driving, I'm leaving Sandton, right? And I took a wrong turn. I was going to a friend's house, but I'm listening to Deepak Chopra speak on awareness, right? And he does this exercise when he says, "Are you aware of yourself?" And he starts taking you through the stages, right? What was scary was I had the aircon on in the car. Like, in my head, I knew the car's a bit cooler because it's summer. But as he was taking us through the stages, like, I swear to you, Mo, I could feel the breeze from the aircon, like, against my skin for the first time. Because I had basically switched off default autopilot, and I was now present. And I love how he said, "You are not in your body is in you." Like, you are not your body. You own the body. Because a lot of the times we think my body runs me, and it's like, no. It's like having something in your pocket. You are, it's not you. You have it, not it has you. And I remember just sitting there for the first time. I could hear myself breathing. Like, I could feel the breeze from the aircon in the car. It sounds weird, but it feels like the world got not louder to the point it's unbearable, but I could hear things that I wasn't paying attention to. And I was like, what in the world is this? I was like plugged in. I was like present in the moment. It didn't matter what I have or didn't have at the moment. I was so aware of myself that all the other superficial stuff didn't even really count. I was just having this amazing experience. I was like, what? Get out of here. I'm enjoying being aware of me. I'm enjoying me. I'm experiencing me for the first time ever like this. And it was phenomenal. To the point that I've actually tried to find the download for that specific talk. And one of the things that I'm trying to do now is to develop habits, right? Good habits. And I want to be aware. I want to be present a lot more, and not just waking up in the morning rat race, because I'm trying to carve out something. Like, to the point where even when I was making my backpacks, I started making them out of fear. Like, I've gotta make as many as I can so I can sell them, so I can. And I, to be honest, I haven't been enjoying making them for the longest while, you know, and it's been difficult. It's been difficult. But there is something that I found that's amazing, and it's something that I think you kind of pointed to last week when we had a chat, and you said, "I know you can make backpacks and you're okay with them, but you speak better than you make backpacks.
Yeah, you do.
And what you were not aware of was another aha moment where there's what I call primary gifting and then the secondary stuff that you can do through teaching yourself. And I don't want to lie to you. I'm not saying it's easy, but how more natural these podcasts come to me is scary. And I think it's because I'm living in my primary gifting.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. Like, it's not painful. Is it hard work? Absolutely. But I can tell you now, the titles, the subject matter, the content comes a lot more naturally to me than designing the next backpack. And I love doing this.
That's amazing. I'm literally changing the world.
Why? It's right.
One person at a time. Like, oh, hell, Queen Mo.
Right? And here's the funny thing, and you're doing it by just being you. It's not like you've got like, I've got these special sessions that I sit and that's what I do, right? And you're affecting the world. You're literally doing a ripple effect, because at some point, and I said it to somebody, and I said, at podcast number 3, it's still scrappy, I'm still getting my, you know, my bearings about it, but at podcast number 300, you wouldn't even recognize me in terms of just I wouldn't even recognize. I'd be like, who's that dude? I'd be like, oh, that's me? What? And it resulted from that conversation where you were like, listen, are you aware of yourself? And if you were, you would know that, yes, you love making these backpacks. They're amazing. But I don't think it's your primary gifting.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to make room for yourself. Yeah.
Another thing also, I mean, I don't know if you listeners noticed, but you literally left your whole job for backpacks.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time that I spoke to you and I heard your voice. And I was like, backpacks, voice, backpacks, voice. Okay, maybe he does like speeches when he does a backpack, like, I don't know. And I remember a couple of days after that, after we had Black Lives Matter like blowing up everywhere on social media, and he then had a video on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, then I was like, no way. But then it was too early for me to say anything. I didn't want to be like offensive or anything, but it just felt like I don't know. I just felt like this person isn't doing what they should be doing. But then again, on their side, I am a side chick. Or Muporafita, as the French would call it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just glad that you found your purpose.
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
And so, you know, this is what I'm doing now, and the funniest thing, it's become one of the coolest things that I love where I am now. I'm a lot more at peace with myself, and it feels good.
It should.
Feels so damn good.
It really should. Yeah. You sound very passionate.
Oh, I'm gone. And,
I just hope you learn to even when you don't feel like it, you do it. You speak positively to yourself. I remember when I first joined gym, 2020 of corona. And I met the manager at the time, was helping me sign up, and he said, gym is hard, you know, you have to eat healthy, you have to exercise, and even when you don't feel like it, like on the day you wake up and you're like, screw this, you do it. And I hope you continue speaking positively to yourself, even when you don't feel like it, even after you've said something negative to yourself. I hope you remember, oh shit, that's bad. No, I'm going to take that back, and I'm going to say this out loud.
Yeah.
The very same way that you said the negative thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that creates a habit. It creates a really good habit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And I love that because I think I wanna kind of close us out on this, and that it's the whole thing of creating new habits, right? And it's gonna be difficult because the old ones are so ingrained in you, and like they're part of you.
You don't even realize when you're doing it.
Yeah, I remember the one moment that was. I've been having so many of these aha moments. There's a song I'm driving back, and I mentioned it in the previous podcast. I'm driving back with my mom from Macro after a very long day of trying to do grocery shopping, and I can't remember for the life of me what the song was, right? And the guy is just like, ah, that light is going, but there's a statement that he says, and it's so negative about his own life, you know, and I was just like, wait, no, wait, I don't agree with this, right? I don't agree with this. And I remember my mom laughing at me and she went, and yeah, and the beat is so catchy, and we burst out laughing, and it actually hinted me that,
what, like, you're talking so much shit, it's so good, it sounds right.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh damn, what are the other things that make sense in my head, but they're absolutely negative? Like the fact that when people say, what, do you think money grows on trees? It sounds like, yeah, it sounds like wisdom, but actually what it's speaking, for me, it sounds like you're speaking from a place of lack.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're speaking, you know.
You can make it that fast, like it grows on trees.
Yeah. And
that's wrong. There are people that make money that it grows on trees.
Yeah. And
why do we not deserve that for ourselves? I mean, if that's what you want.
Exactly.
Money grows on trees and stuff.
And you know, each to his own. I would love a little, you know, a vineyard of sorts. But you know.
Oh God. Okay,
yeah. So that's what I've been doing now. I've been very deliberate about building my circle now. There are new people that I'm introducing into my circle, because I want to practice healthy habits of self-love, like of really looking, of really loving myself. But I also want to build circles of love, and love in all its formats, where people love you enough to be able to call you out, like you called me out, I think, 2 weeks ago, and you're like, listen, hey, I don't like the way you talk to yourself. That's not cool. Who knew that single statement would trigger, we're now on episode 5 of The Road Trip. And we need to be deliberate about that. And I'm doing that. I'm also practicing how to be grateful. Just practice gratitude. Like tomorrow morning, I know one of the first things, in a couple of hours, I'm going to be waking up, and one of the first things I'm doing, even if it's in the shower, is just be grateful. One of the things I'm going to be like, I'm so grateful that I actually finally got to do this podcast with this phenomenal woman, our first guest ever.
Oh, stop.
on the road trip. No, I'm serious. I am being dead serious with you. I'm doing it even now, that I am so grateful that I got to get your time to do this road trip podcast. This is number 5, right? This is number 5.
What's your lucky number? Let me give you some lotto numbers quickly before you go.